Now, if Erin is ready, if we've all got song books, or I'm presuming we need song books, it's number seven, All I Once Held Dear. Erin, are you okay?
Do you want me to give everyone a second to get their songbooks ready, or everyone give a thumbs up if they're ready?
Yeah, thumbs up.
Okay. All I once held dear, build my life upon. All this world reveres and was to own. All I once the gain I have counted loss, spent and worthless now compared to this. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is all my heart's desire is to know you more, to be found in you, and known as yours, to possess by faith what I could not attain, all surpassing gift of righteousness, knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Oh, to know the power of your risen life, and to know you in your sufferings, to become like you in your death, my Lord, so with you to live and never die. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is righteousness, and I love you, Lord.
Muted. Thank you, Aaron. Well, obviously, in these times, I was noticing how many people were coming up with the expression that we don't know where we're going, what's going to happen, we don't know. We don't know this and we don't know that. It's exceptional circumstances we're living in, and we don't know what's round the corner. Everybody was saying, we don't know. And then into my head popped this song, Knowing You, Jesus. And I suddenly started to think of the words of this song. It's a marvelous one. If you break this song down, all I once held dear, All I once thought was precious to me, the stuff that I'd built my life on. And the same with the world. Now doesn't mean anything. But what does mean it? What does mean something? And it's in the verse, knowing you, Jesus. So the world goes round and says, it doesn't know this, and it doesn't know what's round the corner. It doesn't know what's coming next. We don't know what restrictions. We don't know this. We don't know that. We don't know who's going to win the elections in America in next month. We don't know anything. But we know one thing. We want to know Jesus more. He's the firm foundation of our lives. There is no greater thing. He is our all, and he is the best. In other words, he's not the very best, he's just the best. There is nothing better than knowing Jesus. The second verse, my heart's desire is to know you more, to be found in you and known as yours. Knowing you, Jesus. So I started me thinking on this word know, and I started looking up some references in Scripture. And there's so many references in Scripture to the word know or known or knowing. We'd be here for a week going through them. Here are just a few. But we know that in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, it tells us that now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. But then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. When we meet Jesus face to face, we shall know everything fully. So it indicates that we're not going to know everything right now here on earth. And we've got that to look forward to. The knowledge that God gives us here now as believers is enough. It's enough for us. It's sufficient to get where God intends us to be. And then fully. I looked at the word know in my little dictionary, and it says to be well informed. To be well informed about. Well, am I well informed about Jesus? Am I well informed about God the Father? I'm more than well informed. I have Scripture, I have my Bible that is full of God, full of his plans for me, for this world. I am well informed, should I choose to pick that book up and read it. And it says also to be aware of. Well, am I aware of God in my life? Am I aware of Jesus? Do I feel his presence? Do I know he's there with me? Another one is to be acquainted with. Well, am I acquainted with him? Do I talk to him? Do I have a relationship? Is he always with me? Is he always in my heart? Is he my heart's desire? Is it my heart's desire to know him more? And also to recognize. To know is to recognize. Do I recognize him in things that are happening in my life? When everything's happening all around me, do I recognize his plan? Not just for the world, but for me. Another one is to distinguish. Well, do I distinguish the difference between the things of the world and the things of God? I'm going to read some scriptures here, and one of them is almost a carbon copy of the song we've just sung. Philippians 3, Paul writes, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ, for whose sake I have lost all things." And he did. He lost a lot, did Paul, but he gained even more. Psalm 27, David says, "One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to seek him in his temple." Psalm 42, a well-known one for us, "As the deer pants for the water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?' These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng." 2 Corinthians again, Paul writes, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." It's the knowledge of the glory of God through Jesus. And Peter writes in 2 Peter 1, "God's divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him, who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge," and so on and so forth. Now, what would you say I read those out for? I would say that all those various people there knew God. They wouldn't have written what they'd written had they not known God. So knowing God, not just about him, but knowing him personally. So here's one. What were we made for? Well, we were made to know God. Psalm 100 says, "Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." We were made to know God. What aim should we set ourselves in life? To know God. 2 Peter 3, "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ." That's our aim, to grow in grace and knowledge, to know him more, to grow into that grace and knowledge. Not just say, "I know who Jesus is." I've had many non-Christians say, "Yeah, I know, I've heard of him. Yeah, I believe it. I believe that Jesus, there was a man called Jesus, yeah." But we need to know him, not about him. And what is the eternal life that Jesus gives? It's knowledge of God. John 17 says this, Jesus says this, Father, the time has come, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That is eternal life. We will know God and Jesus. That's what it is. He was given the authority over all people, the power or right to command. What is the best thing in life that brings more happiness, delight, and contentment than anything else? Knowledge of God. Jeremiah 9 says, this is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. What of all the things God wants from man gives him the most pleasure, do we think? Knowledge of himself. Hosea 6 in the King James Version says, for I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. The New Revised Standard says it like this, for I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. And the Living Bible, which I don't refer to many times, but sometimes comes out with some nice quotes, the Living Bible puts it like this. God says, I don't want your sacrifices. I want your love. I don't want your offerings. I want you to know me. I want you to get to know me. So I wonder what makes our life worthwhile. What is our objective? What captures our imagination? And where is our allegiance? It's something that we have, but no one else does. Something that makes life's trials and uncertainties, of which we're surrounded with these days, fall into place. For what is the more rewarding, exciting, precious, invaluable, glorious, and higher a goal for us than to know God? To get to know him personally. Ephesians 1 says this, and he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. It was his objective, his plan, his intention, his design to make himself known to us through Jesus. John 14 says this, Jesus talking, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Why? Because in John 10 it says, I and the Father are one. So when we know Jesus, we know the Father. And in John 10, again, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. He knows us. He knows everything about us. For here he says this, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. So just as that relationship is between Jesus and the Father, is our relationship between us and Jesus. He isn't the hired hand who cares nothing for the sheep. He's the one who's laid down his life for the sheep. But there's a flip side to this. And that is, no matter how much we know God, he knows us so much more. In Psalm 139, David says, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar and discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. O Lord, you hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. And in verse 23, he says again, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. We can't hide our anxious thoughts from God. He knows we have them. Psalm 119, again, David, I obey your precepts and your statutes, for all my ways are known to you. And in Isaiah 46, God says, I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. He makes that known to us. We have it. We know the end. We know what it is. There's lots of things we don't know, but we know the basics of it. In 1 Samuel 2, Hannah, the mother of Samuel, says, do not keep talking so proudly, or let your mouth speak arrogance. For the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. You can say what you like. God knows. And in Psalm 94, the Lord knows the thoughts of man. He knows that they are futile. Well, that puts us in our place. And of course, in Revelation, we've got these knows. Revelation 3, the church in Philadelphia, I know your deeds. Revelation 2, the church in Thyatira, I know your deeds. Revelation 2, the church in Smyrna, I know your afflictions and your poverty. And Revelation 2 again, the church in Ephesus, I know your deeds. He knows everything. 2 Timothy 2, Paul says, nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription. The Lord knows those who are his. The shepherd knows the sheep. There's no pretending with God because he knows. He knows those who are his. So the Lord knows everything that is going on in these days. He knows our struggles, our concerns, all that is going on in the world. Wars and rumors of wars and this virus and other things. But he says this, amongst all that, he says this, be still and know that I am God. There will always be wars. There always has been. There's always been diseases all around us ever since goodness knows when. But in Scripture, those words have always been there. Be still and know that I am God. Understand and know who God is, what God is, his power and his authority, as well as his unquestionable love for us. As it says in Proverbs 1, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Because when we have the fear of the Lord, we've begun to get our heads around who he is, what he is, his majesty, his capability, his greatness. But the next sentence says, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Now, I didn't want to be with my wife because she's a great cook, because she's a good organizer and makes my life easier, or because she's a much better shopper than me, or tells me when my clothes need washing, or I'm not color coordinated in my dress sense. Does anybody recognize that one? No, I'm drawn to her through love and wanting to get to know her more and more. And there's still more to learn. And that's how we should be with God. We love him. We want to get to know him. We don't just love him and put him on one side and then drag him out when it's convenient for us. We need to know and continually try and get closer and closer, and that knowledge of God we need to read his word. We need to talk to him, because we have no secrets that he doesn't know already. As we've read in Jeremiah, the Lord himself says about boasting, but let him who boasts about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord. Maybe it's easy for some people to turn around and say, ah, yeah, but it's easy for God to say, be still. He doesn't know how hard it is. He doesn't know how frightening it is. He doesn't know how scary it is. He's God. He doesn't know. But he does know. Isaiah says this. Woe to those who go to great depths to hide their plans from the Lord, who do their work in darkness and think, who sees us? Who will know? You turn things upside down as if the potter were thought to be like the clay. Shall what is formed say to him who formed it, he did not make me? Can the pot say to the potter, he knows nothing? Job says this in Job 23. Even today my complaint is bitter, his hand is heavy in spite of my groaning. If only I knew where to find him. If only I could go to his dwelling, I would state my case before him. And Job was going through a lot when he said this. And fill my mouth with arguments. I would find out what he would answer me and consider what he would say. Would he oppose me with great power? No, He would not press charges against me. There, an upright man could present his case before him, and I would be delivered forever from my judge. But if I go to the east, he isn't there. If I go to the west, I do not find him. When he is at work in the north, I do not see him. When he turns to the south, I catch no glimpse of him. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. Job couldn't see him. Wherever he was looking, he couldn't see him, but he knew. He knew that God knew him. He knows everything that's going on in our lives, and he knows everything that's going on in the world. He knows. It's a knowledge. And still he says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and understand who I am, what I'm going to do, that I'm in charge. Relax. Just know what's more important. Be still and know that I am God. So, on that note, I'd like us to be still for a little while and know that God's there and know that God's here with us tonight. There are many things that we need, that we could pray for, and many things that we will pray for. But I think tonight we just need to be still for a little while. I'm not saying we have to never say anything. If anybody's got anything on their heart that needs to be said, say it. If God gives you something, say it. Don't leave it. But I think just we need to just be still for a few minutes and just recognize that God is here with us. When we meet, he meets with us. So before we bring anything to him, let's just have a still few minutes of just recognizing who he is and just basking in his greatness.